See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. The walk of the Christian is to be with wisdom as we go through life. The reason, because the time is fleeting and the days are evil. We must make the best use of our time. Too many people today both waste their time and their lives by failing to exercise wisdom. Our study this morning will be from the book of Proverbs. Past few weeks, this has been on my mind quite a bit, thanks to a study that we've been involved with from the book of Proverbs. Noble Harbor's been doing an excellent job in teaching this class, and Noble has depicted the book of Proverbs as a bestseller, should be a bestseller, 31 chapters of the divine self-help book, and I think that's an accurate depiction of what the book of Proverbs can do for us. The first six verses of the book of Proverbs explains to us its purpose. It was written for our wisdom and instruction. Yes, we're going to be spending a lot of time from the book of Proverbs this morning, and please go ahead and open your books up to that. This is actually taken from the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. It was written for our wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, prudence for knowledge and discretion. Therefore, it's designed to make a person wise, for us to learn how to treat others with fairness, to act wisely and righteously, to give those of us common sense, sound advice, and even more wisdom. Because it says, if we're foolish, we despise wisdom and instruction. So we do not want to be foolish, as the writer tells us. Let's put ourselves in a situation, a real life situation. Let's say, I'm sure all hands would go up. Have you ever been verbally confronted or maybe challenged in some way, where you feel like you have to defend yourself? Okay, you can do one of three things. You can verbally or physically respond back in some way. You can say or do nothing. Or maybe you choose to react with a soft, kindly reply. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 tells us, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Depending upon how you respond to this situation, will and could, or could and will, determine the outcome that will result. For most of us, as we go through life, wisdom is normally gained through two methods. One source is through trial and error. I know as I've lived my life, not as long as some of you, I can look back at experiences and choose to make better decisions in the future depending upon that. But there are disadvantages in gaining wisdom this way. First of all, you can waste most of your life trying to learn through trial and error. And then, unfortunately, there are consequences with mistakes that you make, and then you have to live with those consequences. Unfortunately, sadly, this is how many today choose to gain their wisdom, or through these kind of experiences. Secondly, we can look at the proven experiences of others. I can look at some of the lives, some of the examples that those that I can remember as I was growing up, some of the decisions that they made. I can look at the Word of God, and I can heed the advice of what it tells us. There are clear advantages of gaining wisdom this way. You can avoid wasting years of your life through trial and error, thus living life to its fullest measure. Also, you can experience life unburdened with the consequences of the earlier mistakes. Certainly, we would like to gain wisdom by this method. Solomon shared his wisdom with us in the book of Proverbs, especially today as we look at that, on many aspects that are true today, just as they were around 3,000 or so years ago. Such as, we can either fear the Lord, or we can live the life, the folly of a fool. There are applications for us as husbands and wives, for parents and children, how to manage our money, how to have good work ethic. Could go on and on, as many other practical topics. And I'm going to focus in today on the use of our speech. That's the thing, as I was studying the book of Proverbs, it jumped out at me, the many references to our speech and the choices that we make with our speech. This is something that affects me each day of my lives, and I assume it does you as well, because we interact with others. We communicate with others. Whether it's interacting with someone at school, whether it's interacting with someone at work, whether it's interacting with someone going down the road in the other car, whether it's interacting with someone on the other end of that keyboard as you send an email, whatever it might be, you're communicating with someone, and we must use wisdom in trying to execute good judgment. As an old saying goes, everyone is wise, or looks wise maybe, until they speak. How true that is. The power of your words can and influence others. What I'd like you to think about and take with you today is how we say something, when we choose to say it, and what you have to say. Those are our key questions that we need to ask ourselves as we try to converse with someone else. I said earlier the references, and for those of you that have been in the book of Proverbs, you know, there are different things that come to your mind as we study from this book. But I made mention, I think, when we were studying from the Proverbs chapter 12, the number of references to our speech. And we can look at Proverbs chapter 12, and I've got several of the Proverbs for you to look at overhead. Verse 6, the words of the wicked, the mouth of the upright, transgression of his lips, the fruit of his words. Who listens, who conceals dishonor, who speaks truth, tells what is right, false witness, deceit. One who speaks rashly, the tongue of the wise. Truthful lips, lying tongues, deceit is in the heart, lying lips, which is an abomination. Prudent conceals knowledge, a fool proclaims, and then good word. Look how many references to our communication or speech that we find just in the book of Proverbs. So over the next few minutes, I'd like to take a closer look at seven ways that we can use our speech real quickly. And normally when you think of your speech, what's the number one thing that comes to your mind of the do-nots that we want to try to avoid when we're talking with our speech? Well, if you're like me, you think about cursing. And when you hear someone say, "Pardon my French," look out. Something bad's about to follow up with that, right? Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. That says it as well as any of us could try to express. And even with our parents, under the old law, if a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. This was a capital offense under the law of Moses. Very serious transgression. We realize that speaking evil of other harms oneself as much as those spoken against. So everyone in the path of cursing is affected. Well, not to leave those of you who've been studying from the book of James out of the equation, I think in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, we find, recently, I believe, according to Mark, on Wednesday, y'all been studying from the book of James and around chapter 3. Verse 5 tells us, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest and a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set so among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God, and father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So with this we see the tongue possesses great power. We can misuse the tongue to curse men, and in doing so we reveal the shallowness in our praise to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 tells us to abstain from filthy talk, instead giving thanks instead. Some people just have a filthy mouth that we interact with and deal with, and we recognize this. We understand it when we hear it. The law commanded the Israelites not to take the name of the Lord in vain. The Lord was not and is not to be referred to with irreverence and disrespect. So not all profanity is well recognized in our society, right? For many, profanity is only the use of bad words. But by definition, profanity is the treating of that which is sacred and holy as it were common. In our society, turn the TV on, you go to the movie, turn your music on, whatever you choose to listen to. There are irreverent references to the use of God, Jesus, and Lord, and it doesn't even have to be what we would consider associated with a curse word. We cannot seem to go a minute without hearing some disrespectful reference to our Lord in such a way. And these are things that we need to be reminded of so that we don't fall into the same habit of using that in our common language. God is holy, as we find in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. To convey to mankind the extreme holiness of God, we should not use His name in a trivial fashion. Okay, moving on. Secondly, we should think before we speak. Choose your words carefully. Goes back to what James had to tell us about the need to bridle the tongue, for it's difficult to control. The tongue reflects the true impression or expression of the inward man, as it's referred to in Matthew chapter 12, 34 and 35. What we're thinking will come out, will express itself through the tongue. They're related. But what does Solomon have to say? In Proverbs chapter 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. To turn away wrath, to stir up anger, to pour forth foolishness, or to be a tree of life, to use our knowledge wisely. There's a song that's very familiar to us. We sing. We need to put it in our hearts. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lip. So what are some advantages in thinking before we speak? Well, number one, it helps us to avoid sin. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs chapter 21. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. It keeps one out of trouble. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Learning to his lips. We can learn. Proverbs chapter 17, 27 through 28. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. So it makes one appear wise. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Obviously, as we're thinking and we're studying from the book of Proverbs, we think of experiences or illustrations that come to our mind. You know, I can't go a talk or a sermon, I guess, without referring to some sports analogy that I've experienced. This time of year, it's baseball season. And how many of us have seen the team manager or the head coach disagree with a call and storm out of the dugout to attack the umpire. I'm sure Mike and Larry and some others have probably maybe experienced these kind of situations. Nothing ever good comes out of that situation for the one that is aggressive, right? And I've learned through my own personal experiences in dealing with these situations, dealing with umpires and coaches, that it's much better to handle things calmly. If you disagree, obviously we want to try to understand what a call is or what the rule is. But I think there's much respect, wouldn't we agree, much respect had if we handle things in a calm and collective manner. So I couldn't help but think about how to handle these type of situations. Remember, how you say something, when you say it, and what you have to say is critical to effective communication. Uncontrolled tongues, poorly chosen words, and rashly spoken words can and will destroy friendships. We should listen twice as much. That's why we have two ears and one tongue, right? That's what our parents taught us. Be slow to respond. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. How we communicate can be more important than the message that we convey. We need to listen to others. I know I failed in this regard. I fail in many of these regards, and these are things that I like I said, I'm trying to apply in my lives and trying to learn to do better in the future. But how many times have we thought we're not listening to the other person? We're thinking about what we want to say or what the comeback should be, right? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, as James tells us in chapter 1 in verses 19 through 20. Poor communications and short tempers will quickly destroy any relationship. Well, next we should speak gently. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Chapter 12, verse 18. We should avoid senseless arguments. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. It's to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to a quarrel. How true that is. It's better to live, we talked about this morning in our class, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. That's chapter 25, verse 24, and also it's repeated in chapter 21 and verse 9. It goes on to say, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Heard the drip, drip, drip. Chapter 27 and verse 15. I think there's also another reference about better than living in a desert. So sorry, wives, I'm sure this could be reversed for husbands and men as well. There's a lot of references to the ladies by Solomon. Okay, have you heard the latest rumor? This is the good stuff, right? There's an old wise saying, don't speak evil of someone if you don't know for certain. And if you do, ask yourself, why am I repeating this? Nothing good comes from this use of the tongue. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats this matter separates close friends. Don't repeat everything you hear. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. A gossip's also known as a talebearer, a slanderer, a whisperer. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends, creates strife. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Also destroys character integrity. If you argue your case, skipped over one here. If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. This is found in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 9 and 10. So going back to Proverbs chapter 26, 20 through 22, Without a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and wood to a fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the man's most inward parts. We should avoid gossip and criticize, and this also includes criticizing. Certainly the majority in our society, majority of people enjoy the lure of gossip. You know, they want to know what the latest is and want to hear this kind of information. But unfortunately, those that participate in this kind of behavior, they're put in a bad light just as the subject of the gossip. If you're seen as someone who constantly criticizes or complains or gossips, the very person you're sharing this information with most likely wonders if you might talk about them in this same form or fashion. So therefore, we lose the respect and trust from others that were engaged in this behavior. Well, next, there's just a little lie. Talk about telling the truth. I didn't realize this, but according to Wikipedia, I was looking up lying. There are several variations of lying. Did you know today that there are fabricated lies, there are bold-faced lies, there are omission lies, there are white lies, there are noble lies, there are emergency lies, there are bluffing lies, exaggeration lies, and on and on and on. People break down lies that, okay, this might be acceptable in this situation. No, a lie is a lie. There's just one lie. This is a huge problem in our world that we live in, and unfortunately, we live in that world, so it affects us as Christians. We talked about abomination early on, and abomination is used several times in the book of Proverbs. Here's what the wise men had to say in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Let's look closely at this, because these are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil and running to evil. Here we go again with lying. A false witness who speaks lies. That's twice out of seven. And lastly, but not least, and one who sows discord among the brethren. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. If a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruins. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever speaks slander is a fool. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. And we find that this will be short-lived in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouthful of gravel. That's pretty good. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. A fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. So we see that lying destroys everyone in its path. It will eventually destroy the liar and, of course, someone that is the subject of the lie. Well, sometimes we don't think about flattery as being a lie. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14 tells us, if a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. You know, insincere compliments sometimes are deceitful praise to win someone's favor and to manipulate. These are a form of lying. We've all heard that someone really fabricates or stretches compliments to someone else when they're insincere. And this also is a source of ruin. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruins. Like lying, flattery can destroy both the user and subject of it. Well, next to the last point, we should keep our promises. I promise. If a trap, or it is a trap, for a man to dedicate him something, or dedicate something rashly, and only later to consider his vows. Keep your promises, and don't be afraid to say no. Let's go over to Matthew and see what the Gospels have to say about promises. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. It's such a common occurrence as we deal with those in society again to make commitments that cannot be kept. How many of you have dealt with someone that's going to provide a service to you? And, you know, I'll be out tomorrow to do such and such. And I'm sure we all have experienced this. Well, tomorrow comes, tomorrow goes. There's no sign, no word from this person. They've just failed. They've lost their respect because they didn't fulfill the commitment that they made to this person or made to us. It's easy for us sometimes to overextend ourselves and with good intentions. But we need to be careful what we commit to and make sure that we can fulfill that commitment. There's a key passage, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. I don't think I listed this for your reference. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Your name is everything. Your reputation is everything. You know, if we're trying to make a commitment, maybe we ought to think about the promise and commitment that we make. Maybe we should say, I hope to do such and such. I'll try to do whatever. If it's the Lord's will, we can plan to do whatever. But this kind of verbiage, I think, takes on a different meaning than, oh yeah, I'll do such and such tomorrow. I'll be there. Do such and such. You fill in the blanks. If you don't fulfill that obligation, then you basically not kept that commitment or that promise. Okay, lastly, but not least, I think we should use our tongues. I believe we should use our speech to encourage others. Avoiding corrupt words, speaking that which edifies in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Well, let's look to the flip side again. What about discouraging words? Constant complaining are discouraging words. These are words that leave you powerless, that make you look powerless. I couldn't help but think about the children of Israel. Couldn't help but think about the constant complaining and murmuring that Moses and Aaron had to put up with that also was a direct disrespect to God. We can look at Numbers chapter 14. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Let's select another leader and return to Egypt. We see this over and over and over again. And again, thousands of years ago, today nothing has changed. You know, people are people and have short memories. And when we complain, when we express ourselves in this manner, are we showing the correct faith and respect for God? We probably all know someone that seems like it's constantly complaining, or, you know, the reference to whining about a particular situation. And there are people who never take responsibility for things in their lives. And they believe that they live under a cloud of bad luck or simply surrounded by people who hold them down. Sure, all of us have bad days, and it's good to trust someone to talk to about that. And get something off our chest, but we should all avoid chronic complaining or participating in someone that wants to constantly complain about a situation. Don't underestimate the power of words. Always think before you speak and get into the habit of complimenting others. Thank you. You're welcome. Sticking to our commitments and avoiding the negative talk. We will be an inspiration to others when we choose our words to carefully to encourage others. Well, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for the lack of judgment. Those are words of righteousness. What about comforting and pleasant words? Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And as we discussed this morning about words aptly spoken like apples of gold in settings of silver. There's well-timed words. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. There's well-thought-out words. The heart of the righteous weighs its answer, and this speech reveals the wisdom of the speaker. So let's think about what we've gone over today. The power of your words can affect and influence others. Let's avoid cursing. Let's try to choose our words carefully. Let's use two ears instead of one mouth. Listen twice as much. Avoid gossip. Tell the truth. Keep your promise. And encourage others with the words that we express. How then shall we use the tongue? That's a question for us to take with us today. Because we will be judged by our words. Jesus said, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." These are the words from our Lord. There's nothing closer to the heart than the tongue. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Our selection of words is based on that which we allow to dwell in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How often do we say something that we do not mean, or we haven't given careful consideration to maybe the consequences or the effects of it? How often do we kick ourselves and wish we had not said what we had to say? How often do we come across someone that's in need of some kind of spiritual guidance and we don't choose the right word, or we choose not to say anything? Hopefully, these thoughts this morning will help us all think about what comes out of our mouth and how we're using our speech. I know it's been good for me. Always the one that puts together the lesson gains the most out of it. But again, I'm not trying to judge anyone. I'm not trying to be critical of anyone. This is something that I know I need. I know if I'm like everyone else, you know, you're interacting with someone that's, you know, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, you know, when we're here around friends and brothers and sisters, it's easy to be good, right? But how do we carry ourselves? How do we interact with those when we get in a difficult situation? The Hebrew writer said, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Paul said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one," in Colossians 4, verse 6. Of course, no discussion concerning wisdom can be complete without mentioning Jesus Christ. It's in Him we find the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. I'd like to close with this proverb, chapter 16 and verse 20. He who heeds the words wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Are you trusting in the Lord today? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He reprove you and you be found a liar. Proverbs chapter 30 and 5 through 6.